All right. Good morning, everybody. Mark Bradley here. Happy to be here once again this week. We're going to talk about effective cold calling tactics. Thanks for joining. I am in Pittsburgh. Just wrapped up the final 2-day mastermind session of the year after many different cities. So excited to get back home here tonight. We're going to kind of talk through why I think that outbound selling and direct mail are such valuable components of a sales process. Picture is blurry, I got, by the way. Bad internet. Sorry if that's the case. I think I have a little bit of a weak internet signal here where I am here today. I've had a few issues with internet. So my apologies if the picture is a bit blurry. And thanks for adding where you are in the chat. That's great. Always love hearing where everybody else is as well. So getting started here, I think one thing that's always really good to kind of start with when talking about sales and sales process is just to make sure that people actually take the time to really truly identify who your target customer is. You know, I think oftentimes landscape businesses kind of know, and the owner kind of knows, and maybe, you know, some of the key salespeople know who they're selling for. But I think getting really specific and having a plan specific on who the customer is, where exactly you really want to be working geographically, because as we all know, that has a huge impact on route times and overall efficiency numbers. And then we also want to know exactly what types of products and services we're really hoping to sell and why we're hoping to sell those. And that's where revenue per hour really comes into place. We want to be able to sell work that's high revenue per hour so that we hit our sales goal earlier in the year, because as we're out performing the work, if we're getting more revenue in every hour that we're working, we're going to very much hit that sales goal a lot sooner, make it a lot easier for our crews to hit their sales goals or production goals. And then, you know, a couple other things that we want to be really clear on before the phone starts ringing. What is our pricing method going to be for different types of work? How are we going to do our packaging for maintenance contracts or snow contracts, whatever service contracts you might be in, irrigation, for example? And how are we going to then present those? And what are the kind of the rules for engagement? And what I mean by rules for engagement, this is deciding when we're going to go out and price landscape maintenance, for example, deciding whether it's even worth doing work that does not include all of the other extra items that we might be selling as part of those packages. So are we actually going to make options, or are we going to make them mandatory options in the business? And I think when people start to really get focused on creating really, really strong packaging for their landscape maintenance, they kind of change the future for the revenue per hour. And the reason I think that's so important is if you're outselling weekly maintenance accounts that are just cutting, you're probably seeing revenue per hour in the $50 per hour range on average with that crew. But when you change the way that you put the pricing together and you make it mandatory to opt into bagged mulch, fertilizations, aerations, hourly gardening, hourly spring and fall cleanups, when you make those services mandatory, you really change the type of customer, first off, that you're working for, because you're it's going to force you to take better customers in better neighborhoods with higher budgets. But it also really changes the outcome, because on an average visit, when you've got some extra services like that to sell, the revenue generated per visit is much higher, and the revenue per hour therefore goes up. And ultimately, that's what we're really trying to do when we look at pricing and packaging, is finding the highest revenue per hour possible for doing the same type of work. And this way, when your crews are out doing their weekly work, there's an opportunity to get more revenue because of the way that the contract was sold. So again, very, very important that we optimize revenue per hour with our pricing and packaging. And then we create rules of engagement just to say, like, here's when we say no, here's where we don't go and even quote work. If a customer is not inside of our area, if they're not a target customer in the sense of the type of customer or the product and services. And then if they're not really interested in a full service landscape maintenance package, as an example, there could be many other examples in the snow business and many others. So we want to create what these sort of key components of the plan are before we even really start to get out and sell. Now, some of the obvious reasons here, I've shown this slide many, many times, but I'm just going to kind of explain it quickly, because this is why outbound selling is so important. We could have the company on the left, which doesn't look horrible, by the way, a 1500 hour year for each employee, invoiced revenue of around $73, with a total hours worked for the year would be 15,000 hours. This company is going to have gross revenue of $1,095,000 and bottom line profit of $1,095,000. The hard part about this scenario is that when we look at 10 employees earning, you know, within $1,095,000 of gross revenue, what that actually equates out to, I can tell you with a 25 to 30% labor ratio, is about, you know, $250,000 to $325,000 of total payroll. Now, the problem there is pretty obvious, right? Every employee in the company would be making, you know, $22,000 to $32,000. In this day and age, that's just not enough for anybody to live a standard living or, you know, above the poverty line. And so really on the right, what we're trying to do with our businesses is optimize the businesses where we can sell low hourly work like mowing, but blend it with higher revenue per hour work like mulching and planting and hourly work for gardening that's at a higher rate, disposal fees, fertilizations, chemical applications, lots of different things that we can do to pull that average up. And so when we learn to say no, we're not doing projects unless they're full service, that's when it makes it much easier to unlock this revenue per hour, which gives us much higher profits, as we can see on the right. Same number of employees, we've got much, much higher annual revenue because we've been selling more high value work. And we get to like 1.875, which would, in this case, would give us, you know, average income of 40 to 50,000 for our employees, which is just, you know, because of what we're selling. And again, the sales process really dictates the future for everybody in the company. So we want to optimize what we're selling so that we've got much higher revenue, much better profits, but most importantly, much higher wages so that we can solve the number one problem in the industry, which is truly the labor shortage. So we want to get really, really specific about how we do this. And when we're building out the sales process, we create the rules of engagement to make sure that this happens. And when you're using LMN for estimating and budgeting, LMN tells you your revenue per hour. It tells you your revenue per hour by crew, if you're using crew budgeting, by department with department budgets, and by company with your company budget. And so if you click the analysis tab on your budget, you'll see that. It'll tell you your budget revenue per hour. And it'll tell you when you click the analysis tab on an estimate, it'll tell you that estimate revenue per hour, and it'll actually compare it to budget revenue per hour, like we're looking at here on the screen. So each time you bid a job, you can kind of quickly check it before putting it out to make sure that that estimate exceeds the budget revenue per hour that you set out for that crew, department, or your entire company. You can also obviously make sure that it exceeds your gross profit target, because that's very important, and the net profit. And so before ever putting a quote out, one of your rules of engagement should really be, I'm going to check that the gross profit, the net profit, and the revenue per hour exceed the budget that that crew aligns up to. This is a really important component of your sales process, because this ensures that you're only selling work that's actually going to get you to the finish line, that's going to get you to the revenue goal that you've set for the year. So incredibly important component of the overall plan. Now, oftentimes people don't sit down and kind of document the sales strategy. They don't document the market strategy for the company. And this doesn't really take that long to do. And so I'd really highly recommend that you do this. And this is kind of another foundational piece to the sales process. And so again, we've got, what is our revenue per hour target? Who are we working for? Where are we working? But we want to kind of be able to answer a couple more questions. And one is, what do we actually want to grow? Like, what segment is it that we're looking to grow? And so knowing what type of services we're doing and which ones are most profitable and which ones have the highest revenue per hour really helps us understand exactly which ones that we want to grow in our businesses to unlock the potential for more profits and higher wages for the staff. And so what we're looking at here is figure out what work has high revenue per hour in your business. And so you can test that by doing some test estimates, or you can just go back and look through your estimates in LMN and check the analysis tab on every estimate and just see which ones had the highest revenue per hour. And you probably already know this instinctively. I think, like, intuitively, most people understand which jobs are actually making a lot of money because we're not there that long and we produce a lot of revenue. And so it's kind of obvious, but when you go through your estimates, you'll start to notice a trend. And I can tell you, in the design build business, more expensive materials are always going to produce higher revenue per hour. So if we've got expensive pavers or expensive flagstone, if we've got landscape lighting, if we've got appliances for outdoor kitchens, fire pits are great. Any large trees are really good because they go in relatively fast and they're expensive. So there's, you know, expensive materials lead to higher revenue per hour. And then anytime you've got a job where material can go in quickly, revenue per hour goes up really fast as well. And so we want to be able to identify what those opportunities are for each segment. In the snow plowing business, when you're plowing with a big front end loader and you're plowing massive parking lots or an entire neighborhood, that's going to be much higher revenue per hour than a pickup truck because you're moving more snow each hour. And so when we just start to think about the time that it takes to produce revenue, the price of the materials and the time that it takes us to produce it are the two big components. So when we're designing the sales process, we want to get really, really specific about how we handle revenue per hour and our rules of engagement. Matthew's got a question here. If the estimate per hour is lower than the budget per hour, what metric changes in our favor? More labor. So the answer there, Matthew, is nothing goes in your favor. If the estimate per hour is lower than your budget per hour, then it's not good work for your business. It's basically telling you that if you did that work all year with your staff, you wouldn't hit your sales goal. So you're just not producing enough total revenue for every hour worked to hit the target that you've set for the company. So regardless of how profitable it is, you just still don't want to do that work. And so what you need to do in that scenario is add more expensive materials or more services or just raise the rates until it comes up to the right rate. And that's an incredibly important thing to be aware of when you're pricing. Okay, now a couple other things when deciding to do outbound sales, we want to make sure that our outbound sales model is tied to a plan, because we don't want to get out there and oversell and get way too much effort going into sales. And I think, you know, more commonly, we don't want to be underselling. Most businesses are not growing at the rate that they should because of two main factors. One, they haven't built a team that can produce the work efficiently enough to grow. Or two, they've got the team, they've got the highly skilled team that can get the work done, they've got the equipment. The second big issue is they don't have enough sales pipeline, or they don't have enough sales coming into the business to keep the wheels turning. And this happens to many, many companies. I would say more common than not. Businesses in the landscape business often don't have a really complex sales process or a really well-detailed sales plan. They just kind of count on the phone ringing because it usually does, and they get referrals. And as an industry, I think we rely on referrals far too much. I think it's just become this way of doing business. And you ask a landscaper if they do marketing, and they usually say, well, not really. I don't need to. I've got such good referrals. And I mean, that's great. And it is something to celebrate. It tells you that you've got great customer service, that you're doing good work, that your customers love you. Those are all big things to celebrate. But the reality is your referral funnel brings you as much work as you're doing currently in many cases. So $1 million company is probably going to generate $1 million worth of referrals. And there's kind of a simple reason for that. The workflow that you're doing is going to feed you similar work and at a similar pace. And so when you think about it, if you ever want to break out of that and you want to start to do different types of work, more varied work, or maybe you want to move into another segment entirely, or you just want exponential growth. You want to actually grow by, you know, much higher rate than typical. You're going to need to have an outbound sales model. And I think you'll probably have to use some direct mail combined with that. I kind of look at direct mail and outbound selling as almost one and the same in some way, because in both cases, we're reaching out as opposed to counting on inbound leads. So if in a hypothetical situation here, if we've got a sales goal of $6 million with a 40% gross profit, we've got revenue target here for install of 180 per hour and revenue per hour of 90 in our maintenance and service side of the business. Now, I think this is a healthy way to create a sales goal, by the way. I think you always want your sales goal to have a gross profit and even a net profit attached to it. Otherwise, it's just a number. And we want to create the revenue per hour. This creates our rules of engagement for when we're out pricing. 40% gross profit, 180 or $90 an hour on every estimate. So that dictates the future. And again, what the rules of engagement dictate the cleanliness or the purity of that revenue. Otherwise, you could just be selling bad revenue, which many, many companies find out after many years when they start using LMN, just how bad some of the revenue is. And they sometimes realize, or more often than not, realize that a good portion of their work is actually not profitable. And a good portion of the work is actually more profitable than they thought. And that's why job costing is so important. But LMN kind of puts the guardrails up for you when you're estimating and when you click that analysis to make sure that you're safe. I got a good question here from Tom. Are there industry standards for revenue per hour? There are, Tom, for different types of work. I mean, we really try to coach people to get their maintenance revenue per hour up between 90 and 120 by really materials in the equipment. I'm sorry, I've had really bad internet here this morning. I'm back. I'm not sure where I cut off there, but I'll start again. I was just answering Tom's question about revenue per hour. So with revenue per hour, there are some standards. As I said, we're trying to generally coach people, depending on exactly where you are in the country, it's kind of $80 to $120 per hour. But 90, I really try to tell people to try to get it to $90. It just makes it much easier to pay your staff more of a living wage. You know, one of the major things that we're working on at LMN with the Mastermind series is to really promote higher wages and apprenticeships in the industry. And it makes it much easier for a company to give living wages and benefits and things of that nature with higher revenue per hour. So 90 to 120 is the number for maintenance. And then on the construction side, it's generally in the range of 130 to 280, as much as 300 per hour. And then there's standout services like landscape lighting, for example. It's not uncommon for landscape lighting to be $300 to $800 per hour, depending on the type of fixtures and the type of situation that you're on. So lots of opportunities out there to get high revenue per hour work and blend it into lower per hour work. And Colin's got a question there. Labor, material, and equipment included when we're talking revenue per hour. The easy way to look at that is if you just took last year's sales for the total sales from the company that you self-performed, not including subcontractors, and you divided your total hours worked, you'd have your revenue per hour for the company. And the same holds true for each department or each crew. So just making sure that you're really clear that this is fully loaded labor, material, and equipment, but not included is subcontractors. So again, just getting back to this, I want to set a monthly sales goal for the company. So we'll say that this is a 12-month company, you know, fortunate enough to be working in an area of the country where you get to do that. And let's say we had a install company and a service company. They're working year round, but we've got this $500,000 goal. What that would do is tell us, ideally, we want to create a goal for the service side of the business and the install side. I'm just trying to keep it a little bit simpler here for an example. But what this would tell us is, if last year we, to get 6 million, we had to bid 12 million, that tells us we have a 50% close rate. Now, the time to close in this scenario, let's say typically our install jobs are taking us 60 days to close, then what we're going to do is we're going to look and create a monthly estimate volume that we need to hit, or a pipeline target that we need to hit. And in your CRM, on your dashboard, your estimate and sold work targets and actuals are just sitting there for you all the time. So this is really easy to do with LMN. There isn't any like extra work to do. You don't have to create anything. Just when you're bidding your work, it's going to automatically update. So all you're going to do is set your estimate targets and your sales targets, and it's going to do all the rest of the work for you. And so if your typical close rate is 60 days, then that just tells you that you're always going to need a million two of estimated work volume in the pipeline 60 days out to know that you're safe and that you're going to have enough work in the future. And I think this is what's missing in most companies, is they're just not looking at how much estimated work they have in the pipe and how much of it is expected to close. And so also in LMN, there's a little confidence number that you update when you produce proposals to kind of give an idea of your confidence level of that closing, so that you can also gauge whether your pipeline is healthy, whether you've got enough work in that pipeline to feed the beast, 30, 60, 90 days down the line. So looking at this sales funnel, I think when we decide whether or not we're going to do outbound, it's all about like changing where the leads come from. If we've got leads coming in from trade shows and website and Google and social, and obviously referrals are amazing, we want those as well. But the reality is when we go to step outside of our typical lead flow, we're going to have to do a few things differently. And so direct mail, I'm a big believer in, and outbound selling. Now, why would we use them? Again, we want to get more sales faster. We want to be less passive about the way that we're selling. And ultimately, what we're trying to do here is get into neighborhoods where we can be a little bit more specific. So in the commercial maintenance and snow business, what I would be doing is I'd identify the neighborhoods that I want to work in. I'd go out and site measure. You can do that right in LMN estimating. I'd prepare the pricing and the proposal, capture all the contact information, and then try to book a meeting and get in the door and do the sale. And again, what we're trying to do here is we're trying to get more properties in a smaller location so that we can use bigger equipment. So in most cases with snow, what we want to do is we don't want one or two buildings on the street where we have to go around and plow in pickup trucks. We want 12 buildings on the street. Because when we get two $30,000 properties, it looks good. We've got $60,000 in revenue. But when you get 12 properties on one street that are worth $25,000 or $30,000 each, and we've got now $300,000 worth of business on one street, we can rent one big loader, buy a nice pusher for it, maybe stick a skid steer or a small tractor in to do the sidewalks, the salter blows through. But now, like, our revenue per employee has gone from $35,000 to $50,000 a year per employee in snow, all the way up to, you know, maybe $100 or $150 or $1,000 in per employee doing snow. And so when we get specific and we cold call and we get into neighborhoods and we build density, it allows us to increase profits, increase wages, and create better outcomes for everybody. Even the customers win, because when we're in one neighborhood with the right equipment, we can usually give them a little bit better pricing and a lot better service. And I think cold calling really opens up this opportunity. If you just simply waited for the phone to ring, you're never going to get that kind of density. And so you just continue running all over the town or city that you work in with pickup trucks, doing properties here and there and everywhere. And so this has a huge impact on every part of the business. Now, if you're in the design build business, sometimes people say, well, I don't know who I would cold call. What do you want me to do? Door knock? You know, like oftentimes this comes up when we're having conversations. And really, cold calling in design build is all about relationship building. So you're not necessarily knocking on someone's door asking if they want a garden. In this case, it's about reaching out and doing networking activities with real estate agents, custom home builders, landscape architects, interior designers. This is where, you know, you block 3 days a week and you get out there and you do lunch meetings. And then you create programs around these different types of people. One that I can give you for real estate agents, book meetings with real estate agents, meet with those real estate agents over lunch, and offer, if you're in the design build business, offer to do, you know, maybe some beautiful 3D renderings for the backyard or for the front yard to help them sell the house. And when you're doing this, you can then set that drawing up on the kitchen table, put your business cards out. Now, everybody who goes through that home looking at that home, and obviously you're going to choose real estate agents who sell luxury homes, everybody that goes through that home can visualize what the house could be in the future. And that real estate agent is more likely to sell the house. Picture this as staging, and I would actually offer this as staging. It's virtually staging the landscaping for them at no charge. The customers are going to be excited that are looking at the houses. And if they do buy the house, you may get a job. Even if they don't buy that house, they've saw your design work and now they've got your business card because it was right there on the table. And the best part is the people that go to open houses that are going to see this are other real estate agents. So it won't be long before every real estate agent in that luxury neighborhood is using you to do this. And now you've got, you know, a good potential lead out of every luxury home that gets sold, which oftentimes people end up investing in upgrades on the landscaping shortly thereafter. You may also even put a program together for those real estate agents where you do prep for listings. And so you could have a package where you go out and remulch and clean up the whole property and do a quick spruce up. Agents will always love a contractor who offers that. So again, outbound selling, it just opens up the door. Same kind of thing with custom home builders, landscape architects, interior designers. Put a program together where you're offering them some value. Reach out. There's a reason for the call. And trust me, this network will begin to erupt. Your business will explode. It doesn't take many relationships with the people on this page to do millions and millions in sales. On the residential landscape maintenance side, you know, oftentimes I've had over the years a lot of startup companies come into workshops and they're asking, you know, how do I get into the better neighborhoods? And how do you're saying not to cut grass for $40 a week, but that's what I do. And I don't know how to get out of that. And so for me, I've always said the easiest thing to do is just find the right neighborhood and then start doing heavy marketing in that neighborhood. So again, this is where direct mail really helps. But I think going beyond just standard door knockers and actually building really beautiful proposal documents, really impressive sales packages, and then getting into that neighborhood and measuring that whole neighborhood, figure out the typical lot sizes, prepare some standard pricing in LMN, and then go out and as you're driving through that neighborhood, double check the lot size, drop that proposal right into that really impressive sales package, and either deliver it to the door, or if ideally knock on the door, introduce yourself, explain that you just wanted to drop this proposal off, explain what you do, how you do it, and you'll be amazed at how fast you break into the right neighborhoods. And I'm talking about neighborhoods that will spend, you know, $6,000 to $12,000 a year on full service maintenance. And this is like you being good at selling maintenance and explaining to people that you don't just cut grass, that you're there to make the home more beautiful every day. And that as a landscaper, your job is to evolve the property. You're going to take that contract. Yes, you're going to mow the grass, and you'll do that at a competitive price, but you're also going to feed the plants, and you're going to manage the pests, and you're going to prune the garden, and you're going to work on it like a piece of art and turn it into a better garden over a period of time. And that's what landscaping is about. We shouldn't be there just cutting the grass. We have to look at our work as artistry, and we have to sell it as artistry. And landscape maintenance is very much that, and we all know it. But at the end of the day, when we sell ourselves too short as grass cutters, I think we dictate our future. And that is why we've got landscape maintenance companies that are paying, you know, well below the poverty line, and companies not making a profit. So you have to be confident enough to get out there, find the right neighborhood, the neighborhood that has the home values that we need. And then we have to have a sales pitch that really sells the quality and sells landscape maintenance as something that's going to evolve the home, something that's going to create lasting beauty. We're making the house worth more money every day. And over 5 years, yes, you may spend $40,000 or $50,000 on maintenance to make it beautiful, but we've made the home worth more than that over time. And if we didn't do that type of maintenance, 5 years later, if you just cut the grass, today's landscaping that might be worth $50,000 is going to be in need of a full replacement. And so at the end of the day, when we actually sell people landscape maintenance the way we should, we're educating them. We're showing them that we're actually sort of building insurance and building value into the home, and we're evolving the landscape. And every day that they pull up to their home over the next 5 years, it's going to be more beautiful. They're going to be happier. They're going to enjoy the space. But if they ever do go to sell the home, it's going to be worth more money. And 5 years from now, they don't need to reinvest in landscaping because they've evolved a beautiful garden. And I think if your story on your website and in your sales package looks like that, and you've got a reasonable price for grass cutting each week, but mandatory to lock in on all the other options, that's when I think you can build an incredible landscape maintenance company. And I see so many amazing companies out there that are, you know, 15% plus profit with well-paid staff doing landscape maintenance. It exists. It's just getting into the right neighborhoods. And I think that does require some cold calling and direct mail and outbound selling with a little bit more intention. And it does require you to focus on revenue per hour, the right pricing and packaging, and actually building out a sales process that delivers that. So cold calling is definitely the way, I think, to change the business. And it does happen very quickly when you put some time and intention into this. And I think this is a great place for owners and senior leaders in a business to spend their time if they really want to dictate a better future for the company and for all of the employees in it. And certainly we can do this with complete happiness, knowing that our customers are actually getting a better product and they're getting what they actually want when we're at selling, which is always nice as well. Now, a couple of I'll take some questions here on the topics that we've talked about. Next week, we're going to talk about how to implement field crew performance bonuses. That's always a big topic. This builds upon the budgeting courses that we've been also doing recently. Crew budget is the foundation to performance bonuses. You can't do a field bonus system without having field crew budget. So we want to make sure you've got that in place. So if you haven't done one yet, check out the YouTube channel. You can find a recording of the crew budgets there, or you can join us live each week. But yeah, next week we're going to do the performance bonuses. And then a couple other things that are happening still. If you haven't gotten out to one of our 5-day Academy certification programs, it's not too late. We've got some happening still around the country. These are 5-day intensive certification programs for you and your teams to get out and sit with our education team, set up your software, make sure it's fully implemented, use it as the operating system that it really truly is. When you just use part of LMN, you're selling yourself short. It's an operating system. It's designed to be used in its entirety. When you use the entire system, it helps you create the culture in your business that you're really looking for. It helps you become the leader that you're looking to be. It really does provide that information that you need to really communicate the real facts and drive continuous improvement deep into the organization. So if you're not using the whole system, I can't urge you enough. Get out to one of these Academy certifications. Customers are raving about them. I think we have like a 99.8% satisfaction rating. People love these certifications. So it's worth taking you and your team out to join us in a city near you. Couple other questions here I'm seeing. Matthew, cold calling super necessary. Yeah, during the pandemic, good point, Matthew. Things have slowed down a little bit. The economy is definitely a little different than it's been the last few years. I think the recession's going to be short and sweet and not of any substance. I think it's going to be a pretty light session, and I think it's going to be over before we blink. But let's face it, the phones aren't ringing like they were a couple of years back. And so I think Matt's got a good point there. Much needed at this point. Scott, I have a hard time understanding when we bill on Long Island less than 65 per hour service work and have to pay a mechanic more than 100 an hour. Yeah, okay. So great point there, Scott. The point being, if we're going to be a recognized trade, we have to charge like one. And sure, there's always going to be somebody that'll cut grass in your neighborhood for $40 a cut. And I say those are great young kids that go to high school. Let's promote anybody who needs to have their grass cut each week by somebody for $40 a week. They should hire a high school kid because they need jobs too. But anybody that wants to hire a professional company to make their home more beautiful each week and each month over a long period of time to really evolve that garden into like a beautiful haven and a truly an outdoor space and part of the home, that's a job for a professional landscaper, and that's what we should be focused on doing. And love the idea of somebody hiring a high school kid to cut their lawn. But that's just not us. And so I think, Scott, you made a big point there. Is like, we don't think anything when we go to a dealer and we get an itemized bill for the hours that they perform the work, the parts that they put on the car, and those rates are not cheap. We all know that. Why should our landscape maintenance contracts be any different? There's no reason, right? So when you propose landscape maintenance, give them that fair weekly price for mowing, because there's a standard value or a perceived value to that. But when we make everything else mandatory and we list all of the services that the property actually needs, then and only then can we really dictate the future, which is much, much more similar to taking your car to an auto shop. So, or hiring a plumber, you know, we expect to pay for parts and labor, and there's no reason why we can't sell landscape maintenance the same way. In fact, most of the most successful companies already are. And so we definitely want to see everybody really revisit pricing and packaging as they go into this year, because I think there's a much bigger opportunity to make more money with fewer customers if you actually get that right. All right. I don't see any more questions. We've got... Landscape lighting, Adam Lindemann mentioned landscape lighting, loves that example. Adam and his wife, Sarah, are the Green Executive, fantastic industry consultants. I've been in so many cities the past 6 months, and Adam and Sarah, your name come up everywhere I go. You guys have helped so many contractors, and you've got a whole pile of raving fans out there. You've changed a lot of businesses, so thank you for helping people with that. But it's such a good point there, Adam. If you've got a landscape maintenance company right now and you've got 100 or 200 properties, you've got like dozens and dozens of landscape lighting opportunities sitting right in front of you. And trust me, your landscape maintenance crews can be trained to do landscape lighting super, super easily. And so just picture this. You've got a crew right now that may be out doing $200,000 or $250,000 worth of landscape maintenance. And if you just went out and gave those crews a nice little temporary lighting system that they could All right, I'm back. Sorry, everybody. I've got the horrible internet here today. If you have, I said, 200, let's say, customers, dozens of opportunities or targets for landscape lighting. If you created little temporary systems with three or four path lights, three or four up lights, and you plug those in at the house, set them up. This is like setting up Christmas lights. It's so easy. And when you set these up, just lay the wires on the grade, let the homeowners take a look at what their property could look like with beautiful lighting on the property, maybe around patio or at the front of the house, the main trees, the specimen plantings, light them up, show them what it's going to look like, and they're going to want to buy them. And these systems go in incredibly fast. They're very simple to install. And trust me, you can easily train your landscape maintenance crews to do this work. And now, you know, give them some extra overtime during the spring, when the summer, when it slows down and grass isn't growing, get out there and install a bunch of systems. Your $250,000 maintenance crew may very quickly turn into a $500,000 crew. And trust me, landscape lighting is a much, much higher profit margin than landscape maintenance. So very easy to start to blend these type of enhancements into your company, regardless of if you even have enhancement crews. If you're a smaller company and you're just getting started, just train your team to do it. It's really not that difficult. But landscape lighting is an incredible one. I've seen a lot of companies really turn the revenue up super, super fast with landscape lighting. So I always love talking about that one. And if you've got 200 customers, you've got 200 customers to sell something else to, and lighting is a perfect example of that. Mulching, more planting, seasonal color, Christmas lights, the list is endless. And so if you want higher revenue out of each crew, go out there and sell them more high revenue per hour work, give them more opportunities, and keep talking to those customers, because they are more interested in doing business with you than you think. And that does require outbound selling. So with your existing customer list, the last thing I'm going to say here before we wrap up, with your existing customer list, don't just send them your renewals. Go out there and meet with them in the spring. Go through this new pricing and packaging, and then let them know that you've got other things that you're going to be offering. Maybe it's seasonal lighting this year in the holidays. Holiday lighting is an incredible way to grow revenue. Certainly, it requires some safety training. You're working with ladders, and there's different compensation rates, but trust me, it's worth it. It's high revenue per hour work in a season where you otherwise might not be working at all. And so lots of opportunity here. One last question came in here from Jason Hone just before I wrap up, concerning design build. How do you figure subcontractors into your sales goals, not include them in the revenue per hour, not include them in the yearly sales goal per crew? Yeah, the way that you work subs in is they are worked in your divisional budgets or your company budgets, because subcontractors do produce revenue, they do recover overhead, and they do create profit. So they're in your company level budget and they're in your department level budget, but they're not in your crew budgets, because the crew budget is just designed to set a production target for that crew leader, crew supervisor, whatever your title is, and their team that perform their work. And so we just don't want subcontractors being calculated into revenue per hour for ourselves. That's all. But I think you got it. That's it. Yeah, Jason. Okay. All right. I think that's it for this week. We're right out of time, right on time. Sorry about the internet connection and the fuzzy screen. I'll see you next week, and make it a great day. Thanks, everybody.